Likutei Halachos, Or HaChaim, Chelek Beis, Hilchos Netilas Yadayim Lesudo, Ubetzias Hapas, Halacha Aleph. Today's shiur is dedicated L'Iloi Nishmas, Reb Shlomo Eber of Naphtali. And the shiur is very apropos because he was one of those Yidden who whenever he looked at a physical person or anything else physical, he always understood that there was a neshama inside of it, that there was a spirituality in there, and he always tapped into that. And this is a person who was Zorcha, that through him, probably thousands, maybe tens of thousands of Yidden were lifted up, each one to a different level, each one to whatever level the person was able to take. He did what he could to inject spirituality, chiyus, chachma, seichel, simcha, to be mechayin afoshes Yisrael. The learning should be an ilu neshama, an aliyas neshama for him. Now we start the laws of eating. We finished the morning seder of going to shul, hilchis kriya shma, hilchis tefillah, after shul, Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, we did Hilchas Ma'aseh Matan, which speaks about going out to work, and now the Shulchan Aruch starts addressing the issue of eating with all the detailed laws related to it. Rav Nosson Zal quotes the Shulchan Aruch in chapter 158, which says, "Kishiyovo ilecho el pas shem rochan olav hamoitzi." If a person is going to eat bread, which requires the bracha hamoitzi lechem in oretz, yitol yodov, he must first wash his hands with water a certain way. Ayin b'maimar of Yom Habikurim Simen Nun Vav. Take a look in Likutei Moran, the first half, chapter 56, where Rabbeinu Zal discusses certain items that Rabbeinu Zal is going to tap into now. Ki ho'achilo u'chayei ho'odom. We know that eating is one of the things that a person's life depends on. A person draws life from the food that he eats. Ve'ikar koyach hachiyus shiyash b'toyach hadov ra'nechal u'bechinas hadas v'aseichel shemalubish boy. And Rav Nosson Zal says, the main ability to nourish a person, to sustain a person, and to give a person life and strength that's found in food, comes from the das and seichel that's found in the food. Ki b'chol dover yesh bei chochma. Because we know that every object in this world has chochma in it, seichel in it. There's a pasuk, kulam b'chochma asisa. That the Pasuk says that everything that Hashem put into creation has a chokhmah inside of it. That's a spirituality inside of it that sustains it. And that's what gives this physical food the ability to sustain the person both physically and spiritually. Ubifrat achilas isha Yisraeli shurak kedei lahachyos es nafshei dedusha. Especially when we're talking about a Jew eating, where the purpose, the main purpose for which a Jew is eating is to sustain his soul, his neshama, the spiritual life that's inside of him. As the Pasuk says, Tzadik oichen l'soiva nafshoi. A tzadik eats to satisfy his nefesh, his soul. Nimtza, therefore, shalidei huachilo mekablen chiyus, haynu chochma, u'mechayin es hanefesh. That when a person eats, and the person receives energy, strength from the food, which is chokhma, which is seichel, that's what sustains and gives life and energizes the nefesh, the soul. The alkein hu bechinas hamshochas chayim va'arichas yomim l'toich hamalchus. Therefore, Rav Nosson Zal wants to say now that just as in chapter 56 in the Likutei Moran, Rabbeinu Zal discusses the concept of drawing life into malchus, and there Rabbeinu Zal refers to that regarding the study of Torah. Rabbeinu Zal there says that each and every single Jew has a concept of Malchus. The Mishnah tells us that Malchus buries people. Harabonus mekaberes es ba'aleho. Therefore, if a person has Malchus, he better see to it to take steps to put life into his Malchus, because the default is that Malchus kills. Rabbeinu Zal says there, the way that you draw life into your Malchus is through the Torah, because the Torah is called life. Ki hu chayecho v'orech yomecho. The Torah is your source of life and longevity. Rav Nosson Zal, in this chapter, wants to tap into that Torah in the Likutei Moran, referring to a different item. There's another item called food, and food is also a source of life. Chiyus, chokhmah, seichel. And therefore, if we say that food is a source of life and it's chokhmah and seichel, we have to see to it to draw that into the malchus. Another term for malchus is nefesh. Every Jewish nefesh is an aspect of malchus. There are many proofs for this. For example, there's a pasuk, Nafshi Yotza Bedabroi. My nefesh comes forth in my dibur, in my words. And dibur is malchus. There are many chapters in Likutei Moran where it mentions nefesh related to malchus. The nefoshos, we know, also come from the kisei hakovod of Hashem. Kovod is always a concept of malchus, melech hakovod. So Rabbi Nezal says here that the concept of a person eating to sustain the nefesh is a concept of drawing chokhmah, sechel, because the food, physically it's food, spiritually it's sechel. If food sustains a person, if it keeps a person alive, we know there's a pasuk in Koheles which says, ha-chokhmah techaye bo'aleha. Chokhmah keeps a person alive. So food visibly nourishes us on a physical level. We need to know that in that food there's also something spiritual. There's a sechel that Hashem put into it, a chokhmah that's inside of it, which is what sustains our spiritual section, our nefesh. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein ikar hamozoin heim heimine dogon. And this is why the most basic and most important food in many ways is the five types of grains from which bread is made. Ki heim bechinas das. Because they especially represent das, sechel. Kemo Yisham Razal, as the Gemara says, kol tinoik shetoyim tam dogon. When the Gemara wants to talk about a child who's old enough to be considered intelligent regarding certain matters, the Gemara says, a child who has tasted grains. If he's old enough to eat grains, then you know he's already on a certain level of intellect. And this is why we know that there are five basic grains corresponding to the letter He, which represents Das. There are many reasons why. On the simplest level, in Hebrew grammar, if I say Shulchan, Shulchan means table. If I say HaShulchan, if I put a He in front of it, that He is called He HaYediyah. That means the table. Which one? You know which one we're referring to. The one that you know about. The one that we spoke about earlier, or a special table. So therefore, the letter He in Dikduk is referred to as He HaYediyah. Also, Rabbi Nezal has a whole chapter on Likutei Moran, chapter 53, I believe, in the first half of Likutei Moran, where he shows the connection between Das and the letter He. V'alkein heim meizan zayni. And this is why the grains specifically are what nourish a person. They are the most nourishing part of what a person's eating. It's the base of each, of a meal, of a Jewish meal, is the bread. Ki ikar hamozoin v'hasviyo humei adas. Because the main nourishment of a person is the sechel of the person. It comes from sechel. The main ability to be nourished, you know, to feel satisfied and nourished, comes from the sechel. Umachmas chashivusam zois kovudahem brocha b'fnei atzman, kama Hashem Razal. And because these grains are so special and so unique and so important, the Torah designated a specific brocha, a unique brocha for them, apart from all other food items, which is the hamoitzi lechem in oretz, when a person eats bread made from these grains. V'alkein tiknu levorech hamoitzi behei daiko, v'chinas hei hadasana. And this is why the bracha is not Baruch ato Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam moitzi lechem in oretz, blessed are you Hashem. The bracha is ha moitzi lechem in oretz. And that hei is that hei hayediyah, it's called the one who brings forth food from the earth. And even when it comes to things that are made from the five grains, we do not make hamoitzi on all of them. If somebody makes knedlach that they put into the soup, or if a person makes alabaja balabaja, you know, some Iranian food or a Sephardic food that's made with grains and oil and honey and potatoes and everything else they can find in the kitchen, you don't make hamoitzi on it, you make mezainis on it, usually, if it has enough grain in it. Avol, akim al mashnik or lechem daik, it's only when the grain is used to make what we call bread, then we make the hamoitzi on it. Avol al sham acholim shoyis mehem, whereas other foods that are made from the five grains, kegoin pas habo bekisnin, for example, cake, or things similar to the sharminin, ein mefrochen aleim hamoitzi, we do not make hamoitzi on them. Ki lechem hu bechinas das, because bread specifically represents das, sechel, shehu bechinas lechem in hashamayim, which is a concept of food that comes from heaven. The food that comes from heaven is das. Shekosav Shom Rabbeinu, which Rabbeinu Zal writes about in chapter 56 in the Kutumran, which we're talking about here. Ukemay Shekosav, and as the Pasuk says, when it discusses two Jews getting together to debate Torah, it says, Lechu lachamu balachmi. Come eat my bread, Hashem says. Eat my bread means study my Torah. It's symbolic of study my Torah. So we see that lechem is referred to especially as das. Within the grains, lechem is the ultimate. V'ikra lechem u'mashenikra lechem l'inyan matzah. Dahainu sheyochov v'idei chimutz. K'moy shehevi hamogan avram sham. And we know that the true definition of bread, according to the Torah, is that which is made via a procedure where it can become chametz. If you would allow the dough to rise or to sit without being worked on for a certain period of time, it would become chametz. That's what's called bread, that type of dough. As the Magen Avraham says in Shulchan Aruch, Ki ikra das hu lechem shel matzah, because the main das comes from bread of matzah. Bechinas ugo shehitziu memitzrayim, ein shom. There's a Gemara that says that the type of cakes that they took out of Mitzrayim tasted like mon. The matzah that they baked coming out of Mitzrayim had a taste of mon. And Rabbeinu Zal explains over there in Likut Imran that that matzah was brain food. Mon was brain foods, especially. And the name matzah does not apply to a dough unless it's the type of dough which can become chametz if it's left for a certain period of time. Meaning it must be a dough that's kneaded with water, not with apple juice or orange juice or other things. Now Rav Nosson Zal explains, kizeh klal, because this is a very important rule in Yiddishkeit, what we're about to say. Shehasitrachra koruch achara kedusha. The sitrachra is always, the other side is always looking to tap into holiness. Uvechol mokam shiesh kedusha yisera shom nimtzeis hasitrachra levakesh mokam linaksham. And wherever there is a place of holiness, or especially a higher level of holiness, that's there especially, the sitrachra, the Yetzirah, tries very much to plug into that, to be able to draw energy and strength and nourishment from the Kedusha, from the holiness, especially from the extra holiness. For example, if we say Eretz Yisrael is holier than all other countries, then you need to know that the Yetzirah knows that also, the sitrachra also knows that, and the sitrachra tries to tap into that and to draw energy from it. V'alkein b'mokim shereim hizgabrus ha-sitrachra yoidim shebevadai b'mokim hazeh yesh kedusha gedoyla. And therefore, especially in those places where we see that the sitrachra, the Yetzirah, is trying especially hard to do a job over there, you know that it must be because there's a very high level of kedusha there. For example, certain times a child is born, and the child is ill, and there's all kinds of difficulties going on with that child, sometimes that could be a sign that this child is something special, something outstanding. And that's why the Yetzirah is trying to do everything he can, because he knows that from this child has a special potential to be something very different. V'alkein ein yotzi yidei chovas matzah kim kishyocho lovel yidei chimutz. And this is why a Jew does not get credit for the mitzvah of matzah unless a type of dough was used which had a potential to become chametz. That's to emphasize this concept, that if it's matzah, if it's holiness, then there has to be the sitrachra right there also. It's only something which has a potential for the sitrachra to plug into, then you know it's the holy item. Kiyoz daiko hu halechem shubchinas das shubchinas matzah. Then you know it's the type of lechem that represents das, you know, which is matzah. And therefore, that kind of dough, if you don't watch it carefully, it could easily go the other way. It could easily become chametz, because it's something special. So the Yetzirah is there trying to push it to the left, and you have to watch it very carefully not to let it go off track. Because the Yetzirah, the Sitrachra, is always right there when there's something of holiness, when there's something of das. Ki ikar ha-kedusha hu ha-das. Because the main holiness in this world is Das. That's the main holiness. The Beis HaMikdosh. It was called Beis HaMikdosh. And the Gemara tells us it was a center of Das. The Sanhedrin HaGdolah were there. The smartest people in Klal Yisrael were the ones who were there. V'yikra tolui kisho yisani lo yishoyim mayim shimbchinas chasodim shimbchinas Das. And it's especially dependent on the dough being kneaded with water. Water represents chesed in Kabbalah. Meimei ha-chesed it's called. And water also represents Das. The Pasuk says, Ki molo horetz deyas Hashem kamayim layam mechasim. Das is compared to the water that covers the ocean floor. Vo'oz nikro lechem b'chinas lechem en ha-shamayim, b'chinas das, b'chinas matzah. And if it's kneaded with water, then it has this title lechem. Vo'oz yochel lover lechimutz kanal. Then it has the potential to become chametz. V'gam sheyeh dafka mehe minei dogon shim b'chinas das. And it must be specifically from these five grains. Again, that letter hey, which symbolizes Das. Five. V'yarkein ein mevorchen amoitzikim alechem kozeh sheroi liyos matzah. And this is why the halacha is that we only make hamoitzi on bread that's made from dough that had a potential to be matzah. Kios u'bechinas Das. Then you know that that type of bread is a concept of Das. V'yav shon roichlim b'chol ha'shana chametz. And even though throughout the entire year we do eat chametz, since this bread had a potential to be matzah, it's from a dough that could be matzah, therefore it represents this das. It's just that right now, when it was made as chametz bread, we say that the das is in a concept of hastor. It's covered over by this fermentation, by this leavening. Ki chometz hu sitru d'moiso hepechayim barichas yomim hayim b'chinas hastor as hadas. Because we know that chometz is referred to in the Zohar HaKadosh as a concept of death. We have the word machmetzes in the Torah. Kol machmetzes lo yisoychelu. And the Zohar HaKadosh says the word machmetzes is two words. The outer letters are mem and tuf, spelling the word mace. The inner letters are chametz. The Zohar HaKadosh says this teaches us that chametz is a concept of mace. So chametz is the concept of sitro d'moisa, the opposite of chayim and arichas yomim, because chametz is a concept of hastoras hadas, where the das becomes hidden. V'alkein onu yichodem lochloi, therefore, and that's why we're allowed to eat it. Ki yesh lanu koyach legalei sa hastoro lachziru ladas haidei shevra zochin lekabal ha-toyro shal yodem akalin hastoro kama shikotsu shom. Rabbi Nazar writes over there in Likut Imran that once the Jews were zeicha to receive the Torah, that gives us the ability that even in places where the Das is hidden, we have the ability to remove the coverings and to reveal the Das inside of the Hastorah. So Rabbi Nosson is saying, when you have bread that's been made as chametz bread, since it was made from the five grains, and since it was made with water, and since it was made in a process where it could have been matzah, the fact that it went through a fermentation and leavening is like a covering over the das. And we as Jews, after Kabbalah Satorah, after Shavuos, or after Shvi Shel Pesach, that was the beginning of Kabbalah Satorah in a sense, and what the Jews saw at Kriyas Yamsuf, from that point on we have the ability to take this item, chametz, and to purify it, to strip off the coverings from it, in a sense. Ubifrat, shafilu achilosenu biatzmai hu al pi haTorah, especially when our eating is conducted in conformity with the Torah. V'yesh bo kama dinim v'kama brochoi shal yideinu v'magalim haTorah, kama shizbo l'ham. And again, in our process of eating, we are tapping into we're pushing all kinds of buttons of Torah in how we make a bracha and what we do before, what we do after, etc. So we're activating the power of the Torah, which is the power to reveal Kiddusha even when it's hidden. V'yarkein choshiv dafka lechem chometz yosim iminim shenim nischamtsim. Ki ein sham hislapshus adas kolkach. And this is why bread can become chametz more so than other things which can't, because they don't have that das there. Remember, we said before, the rule is the more you have a higher level of kedusha, the more it's normal and natural for the sitra achra to be right there and plugged in. So that Rav Nosson is saying, out of all the different foods that have this fermentation, this leavening, Bread has it especially because bread represents a high level of kedusha. And since those other foods are not on the same level of das, therefore they don't have the same fermentation, the same these procedures. Because the sitrachra is not as active over there as it is when it comes to das, when it comes to bread. And this is why when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim, they had to eat matzah. Because at that point, when the Yidden were coming out of Mitzrayim, they had not yet received the Torah. It was before Kabbalah Satorah. And that's why they had to leave Mitzrayim in a rush. They had to make a run for it. Because the power of Paroi was still upon them to a degree, which means this power of covering over the Kiddusha. Kihu oisios ha'oref. The word paroi is the same letters as the word ha'oref, which is the back of the neck. V'leihoy elohem koyach l'shaber l'vatel b'chinas ha'astoro me'ach sh'leihoy l'matoro. And we did not have the ability yet to do away completely with the hastora, with those forces that are covering up, trying to cover up the Kiddusha, because we had not yet received the Torah. As the Tikkun HaZohar explains, that it's for this reason that the Jews had to leave Egypt in a rush. They had to run. Why run? If they were successful, if they were completely successful, they don't have to run from anybody. The answer is they were not yet completely successful. Things were still in progress. This procedure of destroying the Sitrachra was still in progress. Paro was still alive. And therefore, the Jews were not allowed to eat chametz at that time. They had to eat matzah. Shehu b'chinas etzem hakdusha koydem hislabshusa b'sidrachra b'chinas hastora. Matzah represents a pure kedusha prior to its getting any coverings of the sidrachra on it. Ki Hashem yizborach hele ozes Yisrael lamala memadrigosom baliyo gedoy lemoid. When the Jews left Mitzrayim, Hashem lifted us up in a level that was way above the level that we were supposed to be on at that time. Way above any level that we had earned. Because otherwise it would have been impossible to take us out. If Hashem would have gone just by all the regular rules, we never would have gotten out. Hashem had to bend the rules and go above and beyond the call of duty, in a sense, you know, and taking us out and elevating us. Ki matzah hu bechinas das godol u'kedusha gedola moed. Because matzah represents a very high level of das and a very high level of holiness. Ki hi bechinas machlokes l'shem shamayim, shu bechinas eilu ve'ilu devar kimchaim, shu bechinas darchei Hashem, shu madrega gedola moed moed. The word matzah in Hebrew also means machloikis. Matsusa umariva, it's called. Mariva means machloikis. So Rav Nosson Zal says that matzah represents a very high level of seichel, the type of seichel that's generated when there's machloikis l'shem shamayim. When two people are arguing for the right reasons, with good purpose, they bring forth all kinds of new revelations. Each one is forced to use his brain to defend himself and to clarify the topic that they're arguing about, to bring new light to it and new clarity. And matzah represents the concept of machlokes l'shem shamayim shebechinas eilu ve'ilu devar kimchaim, which is the concept of the realization that both sides are really part of life, part of the truth. Two people are arguing, Shammai and Hillel. Machlokes Shammai Hillel, Rabbein Zal brings over there, is Rosh Yeshiva is Moshe. Moshe, we know, is the essence of Das, the highest level of Das. The word Moshe makes up the first letters, Machlokes Shammai Hillel. That their Machlokes was a Machlokes L'shem Shamayim, which is one of the highest levels of Das. Havel Chomet, Shibchina Hislap Shusagdusha B'Sidrachro, Dahainu Shinis Chamso Issa Shaisuru Elias Matzakanao, whereas Chomet, which represents the holiness with coverings over it, the holiness when it's in a hidden state, which means this dough, which had a potential to be matzah, but it got sidetracked a little and became chametz, v'hu b'chinas hastoro, ki lo yichoy elohem koyach levat la hastoro kanal. Whereas chametz concept of Hastara, the Jews were not yet allowed to eat it because we did not at that point in time have the ability to deal with Hastara. But afterwards, when the Egyptians chased after us, Rav Nosson Zal explains that in the beginning, it was extremely difficult for Hashem to do Kriyas Yamsuf, which is meaning to bring about a complete, total downfall of Paroi, which is the concept of destroying the Hastara. Because the spotlight wasn't in the world yet at the time. The Torah had not yet been given. And this is why the Gemara says, Sheomar Hasar Shel Yam, that the angel who represents the ocean said, Manishtana Elu Me'elu. How are these people any different from those? How are the Jews any different from the Egyptians? Dehainu Me'acha Shein Lohem Torah Kanal, meaning, if the Jews don't yet have the Torah, what makes them any different from any other nation? V'achakach, kishenishburu v'nitbu bayam al pi chaz de Hashem b'schus avos. Whereas afterwards, when the Egyptians were smashed and they were drowned in the sea, through Hashem's great kindness, with the schus of the avos HaKadoshim, Avraham Yitzchak Yaakov, I once heard that we say in Oz Yoshir, Oshiro Lashem ki go'oi go'o. Let us sing to Hashem because He is great. The word go'oi is Rosh Tevois Gimel Ovois Hakdoshim, the three holy forefathers of the Jews, that it was in their zchus that Kriyas Yamsuf took place. Va'oz nishbar koyach paroi shehi hastora. And at that time, the power of paroi was destroyed, which is this power of hastora. Oz hutar chometz. That's when chometz became permissible, right after the seventh day of Pesach. V'alkein achar shvi'isho Pesach mutar chometz. And that's why we don't have to wait till Shavuos to eat chometz. We don't have to wait till Matan Torah. But even at Kriyas Yamsuf already, when Hashem wiped out Paro completely, which means He wiped out the Hastara, there's no more Hastara, so it's safe to eat chometz. The Pasuk says that when the Yidden left Mitzrayim, they baked the dough into matzois, not chametz, because they were chased out of Egypt and they had no time, they were in a rush. The Jews were obligated, they had to eat matzah and not chametz, ki gorshim in Mitzrayim v'leichol esmameya. Because we were chased out of Egypt, because we had to run out of Egypt, because of the fact that we were forced to leave Egypt in a rush, on the run, we couldn't wait around even another minute, as is brought in Sforim, Shim Hoyeshoim Ktsas Shom, Hoyenisham Shkun, Benun Shari Tumachas Vishon, that if the Jews would have waited around in Egypt even a drop more, they would have fallen into the 50th level of Tumah, the point of no return. And because of the fact that Paroi was still alive, he was still active, Rak Sheborchu Misham, so therefore we couldn't, Rak Sheborchu Misham Bechipozen Godel. We ran away in a tremendous rush. That's why the law is that at that point in time, they were not allowed to eat chametz, they were only able to eat matzah, because the Sidra Achra was still strong and active. Our eating matzah symbolizes Hashem elevating us in an unbelievable way, from rock bottom, from the 50th level down, just about, to the 50th level up. Ki matzah hu bechinas das elyon, because matzah represents a very high level of das, bechinas shar hanun, the 50th gate. Kenira mehamayim ranal, as appears from chapter 56 in Likutim Ran over there. Now paragraph days. Rav Nosson Zal says, V'alkein kishereitzim lechoy lechem anal tzrichim netila sedayim. Based on this, you could understand why when a person wants to eat bread, he has to first wash his hands. Kedei lezakech uletaheras hayodayim aydei meimei hachesed shehem b'chinas das, kedei shenucha losei soitzom, b'chinas ki eser shomayim yodi. The reason why we wash our hands with water is to purify them through these waters of chesed, which represent das, so that we should be able to lift our hands up towards heaven. V'alkein tzorech l'agbias yodov. This is why a Jew is supposed to lift up his hands when he's washing the netilas yadayim. Kidei lizkos al-yidei zeh l'lechem min ha-shamayim. Because by doing that act of lifting up our hands upwards, so that we can be zeicha to this lechem min ha-shamayim, this bechin of das, machlech sheyev shelizkos lezeh kim al-yidei taras ha-yadayim, which it's impossible for a person to get to this das without purifying his hands. Rabbi Nizal touches on this over there, and again in chapter 56 in the Likutei Moran, Rabbi Nizal shows the connection between the concept of the hands and das. We'll see if Rabbi Nizal mentions it here. V'alkein tzorech laharher b'tshuva koydim u'achila. And this is why it's brought in Sforim that before a person starts a meal, he's supposed to first have a thought of tshuva, feeling of regret and an apology to Hashem for anything he's done wrong before he starts eating. That's the concept when a Jew gives a krechts, when a Jew says, "Hoy," that kind of feeling, which is an expression of regret, feeling bad, feeling sorry in a sense, which Rabbi Nizal says over there is tied into this purification of the hands. V'zeh sham razal, and this is why the Gemara says, shemipnei shehayadayim askoniyos tzrichin netila. Because of the fact that the hands are very busy, they're always moving around in all kinds of places, that's why they need to be washed before a person eats. Ki chein nizbar gam kein shom, because that's what Rabbi Nizal explains over there in the Likutei Moran. Shemachmas shehayadayim askoniyos al kein mizgaber shom hu'atzvus ruach b'yoser b'chinas itzvon yadayim. Because of the fact that the hands are the ones that are most involved in the physical world, therefore they have the potential, they have the greatest potential for atzvus, for the sitrachra, you know, to grab hold of them, to latch onto them. V'alkein tzrichin lezakeichu l'tayroisim, and therefore the person has to purify the hands. V'alkein afilu k'shein oichel b'yodov tzorech netil sidayim. And this is why even if the person doesn't intend to use his hands in eating, he's still obligated to wash his hands. Ulehepech hamachil ein tzorech netil sidayim. Whereas if Reuven is feeding Shimon a slice of bread, Reuven is holding it in his hands, Shimon is not touching it with his hands at all. It's just being put into his mouth. Shimon is the one who has to wash his hands and not Reuven. Ki huikro togui b'hoichel dafka, because it's all dependent on the one who's eating. Shehu tzorech letayer asayidayim kedei lizkos shiyachid osu b'chin es das v'chin es lechem hashmayim. He's the one who has to purify his hands so that he can be zeicha that his eating should be a concept of das, lechem hashmayim. V'alkein tzorech dafka kli machzik revius v'alidei mayim dafka. And this is why the size vessel that a person must use for washing hands has to be able to hold at least a revius, a quarter of a lug. And he must use water. Ki keli machzik revius u'bechinas malchus u'bechinas haklid u'bechinas dalet u'bechinas revius. A vessel that holds a revius, revius is the letter dalet in Hebrew. Dalet, Rav Nosson Zal says, is malchus. We've mentioned in the beginning of the Likutei Moran that the letter Dalet symbolizes Malchus. Dala Vania, something that's poor. And when the cup gets filled with these waters of Chesed, Shem Chinas Das, Shubchinas Hashem Kanal, which is the concept of Das, Oz Nasis, Meha Dalet Hey, Bchinas Revius Ahim, Kamashkos Rabbi Mokamacha, Bissiman Memtes, the Likutei Moran Chelik Aleph. Now Rav Nosson Zal says, when the Meimei HaChesed, which are Das, which is this Hey, are filled, that's what helps us convert from Dalid to Hey. There's a Pasuk in Chumash, Reviyas Ahin. And Rav Nosson explains over there, when the Malchus is in a lowly state, it's called Dalid. When the Malchus is elevated and corrected, it's called Hey. And this is why part of the process of eating, preparation for eating, is using this Dalid. Using a cup that can hold a Dalid, a Reviyas, a quarter of a lug, using that to wash one's hands with. V'alkein tzorech koyach gavra daika. And this is why there must be human power washing the hands. You're not allowed to have an electric fountain that's just the water's flowing and you put your hands underneath and wash it that way. Must be koyach gavra. Ki tzorech lahamshech dafka arichas yomim otech hamalchus. Because Rabbi Nizal explains over there that you must, when you're dealing with Malchus, Malchus has a tendency to be short-lived. And therefore you have to work on bringing long life into the Malchus. Ki Malchus less lemigar meklum, because Malchus has nothing of its own. It's only a keli, it's only a vessel, it receives. Alkein sorot afkolam shechlo toicho chayim. Therefore, we must draw life into the Malchus. Ki alkein sorot aiko shiva yamai mikoichot, and therefore the water has to come from a human push, human force. That's how he shows that he's trying to draw life. It's not possible to come by itself. Because it has nothing of its own. Because this process of washing one's hands is what helps draw life into the Malchus. Because when a person washes his hands, he's able to eat bread. Bread is das, which is what sustains the nefesh, which is the malchus. And this is why a person's table is associated with malchus. Bechinas shulchan malochim. We have an expression in the Gemara in Shulchan Aruch, the table of kings. Is this something that's worthy of being placed on the table of kings? So we see the table is also related to kingdom. Because through eating the right way, where a person's eating with the intent of drawing das, he helps effect a tikkun for the malchus. Malchus is the nefesh. Paragraph Gimel, V'alkein tzorech la'asot b'torah la'shulchan. And this is why there's a special inyan of learning by the table. That when a person eats, there's a special mitzvah of either speaking divrei Torah or at least looking into a sefer. Although when we mention this, I would want to emphasize a caution that with learning at the table, it does not mean putting a sefer into crumbs, for example, because that's a disrespect to the sefer. It could also lead to chametz on Pesach, you know, if you learn, you know. And also it's brought that books, sforim, have worms in them sometimes, bookworms it's called. And a person putting that next to food could chas v'shalom create a problem with the food. Those are two reasons why it's brought that when a person's learning at the table means holding the sefer in your hands, when your hands are clean, you know, in a careful way, not to physically mix the food with the sefer. Because Rabbeinu Zal writes over there on the Kutimran that the main way that we draw life from Hashem is via the Torah. The Torah is called the tree of life. And this is why the Mishnah says in Perkei Avos, any table where people are eating and there's no Divrei Torah, it's as if they're eating from Zivchei Meisim, from sacrifices of the dead. Because eating without Torah is the opposite of drawing life. The Torah is life. Without Torah, you're not drawing life. It's the concept of Avodah Zorah, which is the opposite of Emuna, which is Shleimus HaMalchus. Avol Shulchan Shomrod of Divrei Torah. Whereas if people eat on a table where there is Divrei Torah being spoken, then it's as if they ate from Hashem's table. Because Rabbeinu Zal tells us in the Kutei Moran that when a person learns Torah, the Torah is the names of Hashem. And just like when I want to call someone, I mention their name, that's how I gain access to that person. So too, when I want to gain access to Hashem, when I want to call Hashem, I do it by learning Torah. I'm calling Hashem. I'm plugging into that source of life. Nimtza, shehu yisbarach, nimtza shom al ha-shulchan. So when a person learns Torah by the table, he's calling Hashem, and Hashem is there at the table. And this is why the Gemara brings proof from this pasuk, where the pasuk says, he spoke to me, and he said, this is the table which is before Hashem. Lifnei Hashem daika, ki Hashem yizbor Hashem. Before Hashem, because Hashem is mamish there. Hepech hastor aspnei Hashem chas v'shalom. Which is the opposite of Hashem being hidden. V'zeh pirish, Ashrecho Eretz Shemalkech Ben Chorim V'Sarayich Bo'Esir Chelum. And this is what the Pasuk limit says, fortunate is that land whose king is not a slave, he's a free man, he's solid, whose officers eat on time, in a timely manner. K'al yideihu achilo hu shleimus hamalcha shubichinas malkech ben chorin k'mashikos hashom. Because if a person is eating the right way, that's the tikkun hamalchus. That's this concept of the malchus not being a slave. V'al kein zman sudas talmud chochom b'tchilas shovov. V'hainu achar heisho ishosko behem b'toru tfila. And Rav Nosson Zal says, this is why the Gemara says that when should a Talmud Chacham have his main meal? In the beginning of the sixth hour. Which means, how many hours has he gone through? He's had 5 hours already. He's covered the five. He's plugged into that hay. That hay ha'idiyah. V'ayidezeh zoichin l'das shubichin ha'seyanah. And that's how the person is zoichin to das. Through the 5 hours of Torah and Tefillah, he's zoichin to das. And then his meal can be classified as a Sudas Talmud Chacham because he has this degree of Shleimus Hadas. He had those first 5 hours of Torah, Ushleimus Hamalchus, and also a level of Malchus B'Shleimus. V'yalkein lomdu razal zman Sudas Talmud Chacham miposuk Ashrei Cheretz. And this is why the Gemara learns the Sudas Talmud Chacham from that pasuk, because again, the Sudas Talmud Chacham, which symbolizes this Shleimus Hadas, Shleimus Hamalchus, comes in the beginning of the sixth hour, meaning after a Shleimus Hadas. Das is the letter He. The first 5 hours of Torah and Tefillah represent that Das. And then he's ready to eat the right way. Position Razal, this is what the Gemara says, Kol ha-mizalzel b'netilas yadayim nekar min ha'olam. That a respect to netilas yadayim ubo lidei anius, it leads to poverty. Because the words al netilas yadayim, the first letters make up the word oni. That doing the mitzvah netilas yadayim the right way is an antidote to oni, to being poor. The Gemara says, Rav Chisda, who was one of the wealthiest rabbis, somebody once asked him, how do you get so rich? He said, when I wash my hands for bread, I wash with a full cup. The Zohar Kodesh brings a remez also. The words, Malei Yodeinu Mibirchoy Secho, Hashem, fill our hands from your blessings. The first letters are Mayin, Mem Yud Mem. Showing that this mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim specifically is Mesugol for Ashirus Digdusha. Because Netilas Yadayim is a concept of long life, drawing Chiyas. Mayim, we said, is Chiyas. Mayim Chayim. And Rabbein Azal says over there in the Kudimran that through our Yichas Yomim, a person is Zeichet to Parnosa. And this is also why there are exactly 10 words in the Brocha Hamoitzi. And also, when you're making a bracha on bread, you're supposed to hold it with all 10 fingers. In order to effect a tikkun for the malchus, which is 10. Malchus is number 10, sphere number 10. Bechinas sorei asorois. And we know that when the Torah talks about the malchus of Klal Yisrael, it talks about leaders of 10s. That's the base unit. And this is also why the law is that when you have a group of people together, the greatest one, the king of them, is the one who makes the bracha on the bread. The godol is the concept of the melech among them. That's why he's the one who makes the bracha on the bread. Because if he's the melech, if he's the greatest one of them, he's the main one who has to be Isaac in tikkun hamalchus. Godel means the most important one. The kohen in some cases the most important one. V'alkein ein haboitzeya rishoy levtzoya ad sheyichle omein mipirei v'oinim. And this is why the law is that when you have a group of people eating together, and one of them is going to be making the bracha for all of them, he makes the hamotzi lechem in oretz, and they have to answer amen. He's not supposed to start slicing the challah until the majority of them have answered amen already. Because by saying the bracha, that's how you elevate that holiness that's found in the bread, that chiyus, that elukus. And this is why you have to wait until the majority of people answer amen. That's their substitute for a bracha. Instead of their way of saying a bracha is by saying amen. Because it's only then that you have the ability to draw das from the achila. Only once the bracha has been made and the amen has been said. See, it's not talking about cutting the challah, it's talking about eating. The beitzeah, the one who said the bracha, is not allowed to take a bite until the majority of people have answered amen. Because again, the tikkun ha'achila is dependent on the Torah, or the divrei Torah, or the words of the bracha. So the words of the bracha have to be finished by all present before we start eating, or the majority of those present. Baruch Hashem. Hilchas netilas sidaim l'suda, halacha beis. Before we start this halacha, I just want to mention that in many cases, the halachas Aleph and Beis that Rabbi Nosson Zal wrote, some of them he wrote while Rabbi Nosson Zal was still living. That's how young he was at the time, Rabbi Nosson Zal. Some of them were shortly after Rabbi Nosson Zal's passing. And in many cases, you find that his style has changed dramatically from halacha Aleph to halacha Hey Vav Zayin. Because in other words, he didn't go in order, he didn't write Halacha Aleph, then Beis, then Gimel. He made a full pass on the Shulchan Aruch for Halacha Aleph. Then he made another pass for Halacha Beis, etc., etc. So by the time he got to the later Halachas, Halacha Hei, Vav, Zayin, you know, where those appear, he's older. And I can't say, I wasn't there at the time, but I'm saying, obviously, his writing style has become much clearer, less choppy, much more elaborate. He broadens and he explains and clarifies much, much more in the later halachas than in the early halachas. So we'll try to go slowly a little bit. This is a little bit more choppy, but it's still wonderful chidushin, you know, and it's what it is. So let's start. Rav Nosson Zal says, Ki isa b'divrei Rabbeinu neiro yoyer, simen mem dalid, inyen mechoas kaf, shu kedei lezakech ho'avir b'b'china seret Yisrael, al yidei chof ches pirkin diodayim. It's found in Likut Imran, chapter 44. Now he says, b'divrei Rabbeinu neiro yoyer, which means Rabbeinu Zal is living at the time. He doesn't say Rabbeinu zichrona lebracha. Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 44 in Likut Imran, regarding the topic of clapping hands during tefillah, how important an item that is. And there Rabbi Nosson explains, Shehu kedei lezake cho'avir bebechina seret Yisrael. One of the reasons why that's done is to purify the air, to elevate the atmosphere in the place that the person is davening, to give it a kiddush of Eretz Yisrael. Now you have to remember, Rabbi Nosson was in Chutz Loretz. Rabbi Nosson lived in the Ukraine. Rabbi Nosson lived in the Ukraine. So for them it was especially important that if there is something that a person could do during tefillah to convert the place that he's standing in to Eretz Yisrael, that was obviously a very important item. However, this definitely applies to us who are in Eretz Yisrael also. Because if doing this can elevate Chutz Loretz to Eretz Yisrael, then imagine what it can do for Eretz Yisrael itself. Obviously, it's something that heightens the kiddush in the place. So Rabbeinu Zal writes over there that clapping hands during tefillah purifies the air and elevates it to make it an atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael. Al yidei chof ches pirkin diodayim, through the 28 parts of the fingers, she'al yodom nisoyrer koyach ma'asov. By us using our hands, the Hebrew word for hand is yad. Yad is Yud Dalid, 14, and it corresponds to the 14 sections of the fingers. If you examine the fingers, the pinky has three, all the fingers have three sections each, four of the fingers have three sections each, the thumb has two sections, which is a total of 14 Yud Dalid Pirkin Diyotin, it's called. Two hands is 28. And Rabbi Nosson writes over there that this corresponds when Hashem created the world. He created the world especially with the first sentence in the Torah, Bereishis bara Elokimus Hashamayim Vesoretz. That first sentence has in it exactly 28 letters, which are called the Chof Ches Asvun Demaisa Bereishis, the 28 letters of creation. It's also brought that Kaviyochel, Hashem used the Torah as his blueprint and as his modus operandi for creating the world. And there's a pasuk that says, Af Yodi Yosda Oretz V'Yemini Tovcho Shamayim. Hashem says, my left hand established the world, the earth, and my right hand formed the heavens. So that Kaviyochel Hashem himself chooses to use this terminology about himself, about Kaviyochel, the hands of Hashem, being involved in creation. Now, obviously, it does not mean anything physical or anything literal. It's referring to something spiritual, but it's put into terms that we can relate to. And this is what's found in the first pasuk in the Torah. Now, Rabbi Nizal explains, Rashi says in the first pasuk in the Torah, why does the Torah begin with this? Why does the Torah begin with Hashem saying, I created heaven and earth? Why doesn't the Torah just begin with mitzvahs? So Rashi explains over there, quoting a Medrash, that because there could be goyim who could come and want to say that Eretz Yisrael belongs to them because they were there first. So therefore Hashem wanted to establish right away on page 1 in the Torah, line 1, I created the world, everything is mine. So the Medrash quotes this pasuk, Koyach Masov Higid Liyamoy. Hashem proclaimed to his people the power of his actions. Koyach Masov. Koyach again is Chof Ches, 28. Hashem announced, I created everything. If I created everything, I'm in charge. And I have the right to rent it out or to sublet, to let or to sublet, to rent. I have the right to allow anyone I want to be in a place for a given period of time. And when I decide it's time for them to leave, I have the right to send them out and to replace them by whomever I want. This is referring to the fact that the Goyim were in Eretz Israel before the Jewish people were as a nation. As a nation, when the Jews came out of Mitzrayim and came into Eretz Israel, there were already nations of the Goyim parked there. So this is what this first pasuk in the Torah is all about, Koyach Masov Higid Liyamoy, and this is the concept of these Chof Ches Pirkin the Yodin, the 28 parts of the hands, Kaviyochel, the hands of Hashem. And Rabbi Nizal says over there that when a Jew in his tefillah claps his hands, that act of clapping the hands, when it's done with the right intention and it's done in a way that doesn't disturb everybody around him, that activates, that arouses an atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael in the place where the person's standing, which is very conducive to successful tefillah. Where we know that the main holiness of Eretz Yisrael comes from the fact that it is koyach masov, that Eretz Yisrael was made by Hashem. Ayin Shom, look over there in chapter 44 in Likutei Moran, where Rabbi Nizal mentions this. And he discusses this. And Rabbi Nizal writes over there that if a person claps his hands during tefillah, this can help the person avoid confusing thoughts during tefillah. A person very often when he wants to daven is bombarded by outside thoughts. To be able to concentrate better and not be disturbed by those outside thoughts, one of the things that can help a person is clapping during tefillah. These outside thoughts, Shehem Bechinas Mabul, Rabbi Nizal refers to them in that chapter in Likutei Moran as a Mabul, a flood of extraneous thoughts that try to flood the person's tefillah. Mabul, Miloshen Bilbul, in this case. Bechinas Bilbul, Validei Shemam Shichem Kedusha Eretz Yisrael, and by the person drawing upon himself the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, how by clapping his hands with this thought that he's plugging into the hands of Hashem, which are what created the whole world, and which is what declared that Eretz Yisrael is ours, through that, Nitzoylen Mebechinas Mabul. That's how the person saves himself from the flood, this flood of extraneous thoughts. Ki Eretz Yisrael Loihoya Mabul. Because we know that the Mabul flooded the world. However, Eretz Yisrael was just about completely left out from the waters of the flood. The waters of the flood did not invade Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, when a person is standing to daven before Hashem, if he's standing in Chutz Laretz, then he has a potential to be flooded. If he's standing in Eretz Yisrael, he has a protection against being flooded by these outside thoughts. This is what Rabbeinu Zal discusses over there regarding tefillah. When should a person do this? When a person feels inspired to do it. Whenever a person feels aroused to do it. It's part of a putting one's entirety into the tefillah. But again, a person should try to do it in a way that not ostentatious, and where it's not disturbing to others. V'zeh b'chinas netilas yadayim koidem u'achila. Now, Rav Nosson Zal takes this chapter on Likutei Moran, which does not mention eating whatsoever. Supposedly nothing to do with eating. Rabbeinu Zal there is talking about the topic of tefillah. And Rav Nosson Zal, using his broad knowledge, is going to show that we know that in many Sforim, they show many similarities in concept, in spirituality, between tefillah and eating. There's a lot in common between the two. So therefore, Rav Nosson Zal is going to apply what Rabbeinu Zal says there regarding tefillah. Rav Nosson Zal is going to show how it relates to eating. And now we could understand the importance of washing one's hands before eating bread. Because eating and davening are one concept. They're very much related. It's brought in Sifrei Kabbalah, especially in the writings of the Arizal, that one of the main things that's being accomplished when a person davens or when a person eats is called birurim. Birurim means refinement, separation of good from bad, and refining the good to higher and higher, to purer and purer levels. This is called birurim, and the Arizal explains how this is affected during one's tefillah and how it's also affected during one's eating. Because when a person eats, we know even on a physical level, on the most basic physical level, when a person goes shopping, there's a birur right there. He sees different things and he chooses what's better, what's worse, what's better quality, what's worse quality, what he wants to eat, what he doesn't want to eat, what food is more nutritious, less nutritious, lahavdil, kosher versus unkosher. There's a tremendous amount of birur that's affected before the food comes into the person's house. Now it's in the house. Now there's a matter of washing it off. Certain foods have to be washed before you can use them. Then it's a matter of peeling it. And some foods need to be cooked. Some foods need to be mashed. And then there's a question of making a bracha on the food. That's a further birur. Then the food goes into the person's mouth. He chops it up and digests it. That's a birur, the chewing, that whole chewing process. Then it goes into the digestive system. And there's a tremendous birur that has to take place there, selecting the good from the bad, selecting what's going to be ejected from the body and what's going to be retained by the body. And what's going to be retained in the body, where is it going to be directed to? To a higher level part of the body, to the brain, to the heart, or to lower levels, to the feet or other simpler organs which don't need as refined quality of food as the more important organs of the body. So that achila on a physical level and on a spiritual level is a process of birur. It's selection, extraction, refinement. And tefillah is also a concept of birurim, whereby during the tefillah a person is undergoing this, is affecting this concept of a birur of neshamos, a birur within himself even. Valkein ikar kedusha so achila hu rak beretz Yisrael. And this is why the main concept of eating with holiness is only in Eretz Yisrael. Shemishom nimshach kol ha-shefa. Because we know that all shefa comes from Eretz Yisrael. The Gemara uses the terminology Eretz Yisrael shoyset chila. Eretz Yisrael receives first, and Eretz Yisrael takes the best, and whatever's left over after Eretz Yisrael is finished, that's what gets distributed to the rest of the world, conceptually. V'chol habirurim nasim al yidei emunah, kemuva. And we know that the whole concept of this separation of good from bad and refinement is done through emunah. One of the most important ingredients in making that process work is emunah. U'kemo shekosav Rabbeinu, as Rabbeinu Zal writes in chapter 62 in Likutei Moran, shebirur hama'acholim heim al yidei emunah, that the whole concept of refining food is brought about through emuna, faith. Bebechinas ure'ei emuna. The pasuk uses the word ure'ei with an ayin related to emuna. Ure'ei refers to pasture, which is referring to the eating process. That the eating process is refined through emuna. Vezena salide Eretz Yisrael. And obviously, Eretz Yisrael plays a very important role in that. Bebechinas shchon eretz ure'ei emuna. The pasuk says, live in the land and draw from its emuna. Eretz Yisrael is the center of emuna. Sheshom nizoinin me'emuna shal yodo kol habirurim. In Eretz Yisrael, people are nourished from emuna, which is the source of all of these birurim. And this is why it's important for a Jew to see to it to draw his eating, his nutrition from Eretz Yisrael. And to see to it that his eating should be an eating of Eretz Yisrael, even if he's not physically in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Nosenthal says, therefore, part of the process of eating requires bringing your hands together, a concept of uniting the 14 and 14, making this koyach mas of Higdol Yamai, which is written about Eretz Yisrael. And when a person brings his hands together, as a person does during part of the process of washing your hands for bread, that bringing the hands together is activating the atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael, where the person is. And it's turning on all the benefits that one can get from Eretz Yisrael during eating. So that the refinement that has to be done during eating should be successful. And by a person doing that, he affects a tikkun for the pigam of the mabul. Because if you create Eretz Yisrael is the opposite of mabul. Eretz Yisrael was the one place that was exempt from the mabul, that was left out of the mabul. Ki hu achila bigdusha hu tikkun pigam hamabul shebechinas cheto demarishin shayid yodo nesarev toiv bara. Rav Nosenthal explains now, when a person eats properly, bigdusha with holiness, he's involved in affecting a tikkun for the pigam of the mabul, the pigam which caused the flood to come to the world, shehu bechinas chet Adam Rishon, which was initially triggered off through the act of Adam Rishon eating from the Eitz Hadas, which was good and bad mixed together, shal yodo nis'arev toiv bara, which caused the world to enter into a mishmash, a situation where everything is mixed up, good and bad are mixed together, and are not easily recognizable as distinct entities. And this is actually what the sin of the generation of the flood was. This is what they were involved in. The pasuk says that they committed an act of mixing things up. Different species were having relations with ones that weren't even from their species, which is this concept of this era, this mix-up. And this created a situation in the world where all types of good and all types of bad suddenly became mixed up, where it becomes difficult to impossible to try to identify and recognize good from bad. And a Jew has to be involved every single day in this process of birur, in this process, this filtering, this separating good from bad. The ikar habirur ali de tefila v'achila. So Rav Nosenthal says every Jew has to be involved in helping this birur on a daily basis, this refinement of good from bad. The ikar habirur ali de tefila v'achila. And the main way that a Jew participates in this is during tefila and during eating. And that's why Rabbi Nazal wrote in chapter 44 in Likut Imran that when a Jew is davening, he has to see to it that he should be davening in Eretz Yisrael. In a spiritual sense, even if he's not physically in Eretz Yisrael, he should make sure to create an atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael. And if he is in Eretz Yisrael, he should be sure to be plugged into it. Sometimes a person is standing in Eretz Yisrael physically, but he's on the moon spiritually, or he's 6 feet underground, or he's in outer space. The Alkein Shom Mesaknin Pigam Hamabul Halidei Habirurim Shemavaran Halidei Atfila.
And therefore, it's in Eretz Yisrael where a person affects a tikkun for the pegam of the mabul, because in Eretz Yisrael there was no mabul. So when a person is davening through the birurim that are taking place in his tefillah, if his tefillah is an atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael, he's affecting a tikkun for the pegam of the mabul. V'chein ho achila shu gam ken birurim. And now Rav Nosson Zal says, and so too when a person's eating. Eating is also a process of birurim, refinements. Sorech liyo is gam ken b'b'chinas Eretz Yisrael, l'saken pegam ha-mabul. A Jew has to see to it that he should be eating in Eretz Yisrael, eating in an atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael, so that he can be involved in affecting a tikkun for the pegam ha-mabul. Because the mabul is the opposite of Eretz Yisrael. The more a Jew creates an atmosphere of Eretz Yisrael, the more he's eliminating the atmosphere of mabul. V'alkein tzricha netilas yadayim. And this is why a person has to wash his hands before eating bread. Kedei sheyuchal loseis yodo bebechinas suideichem kodesh. Because when a person washes his hands for bread, that makes his hands holy. And we actually say the pasuk, suideichem kodesh, lift up your hands in holiness. U'borcho es Hashem. So again, this shows that when the washing of the hands is creating a holiness. It's creating an Eretz Yisrael. And by doing that, he's activating that koyach masav of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Koyach, chof ches again. Al yidei chof ches pirkim, through the 28 parts of his hands. Shehu bechinas kedushas Eretz Yisrael kanal, which is how the Torah refers to as Eretz Yisrael. Because a Jew cannot lift his hands up in holiness and unite his hands without washing his hands first. Because the Gemara tells us the hands move all around. The hands are busy and they go and they touch all kinds of unclean places. And it's brought that when the sitrachra, when tumah attaches itself to a person, the main place that it attaches itself to is the finger. And this is why we find, for example, even after a person is dead, their nails continue to grow. Because death is a concept of sitrachra, modes, malach modes, the nails are an aspect of tumah, they continue to flourish in death, in a sense. So that's the main place where the sitrachra attaches itself to a person. That's why a person has to be so careful washing your hands when you get up in the morning and being careful how you deal with your nails, not to put your nails in your mouth, to cut them bedafka erev Shabbos, all the different details. Kemuva, as is brought up in Sifrei Kabbalah, that's the main place where the tumah attaches itself to a person, in the fingers. Bifrat pegama mabulanal, especially when we talk about the pegama, the mabul, the fact that there was tremendous pegama bris at that time in the world. People were acting in people and animals were conducting themselves in an impure way. Sheikir pegama hazer noigea biodaim daika. Well, we know that type of tumor affects the hands specifically. Bebechinas, as the pasuk says, yedechem domim molu. Your hands were filled with blood, referring to impure blood, referring to a bris milah, is a holy letting of blood. And chas shalom, when a person commits pigama bris, it's an impure type of blood. V'chol zman shein mekatshna mataran hayadayim mepigama nal. And as long as a person has not yet purified his hands from tuma, ief shel harimon, it is impossible to lift them up, in holiness. K'may shekosav, as the pasuk says, u'beporishchem kapechem, and when you will want to stretch out your hands to me, Hashem says, alim einai, I will hide my eyes. I'll turn away. I won't look. Again, lifting up the hands is an aspect of prayer, reaching up to Hashem. And Hashem says, if your hands are being pure, I won't look at you. I'll ignore you. Yedechem domim olu, because your hands are filled with blood. Ki tzorich loseis hayodayim bikdusha, because a person has to see to it to lift his hands up with holiness, only after his hands have become holy. Bebechinas su yedechem kodesh kemuva, as is brought, lift your hands up with holiness. She'oz al yedei kedushas chov ches pirkin diodayim, whereby then, after the person has sanctified the 28 parts of his hands, nisoirer kedushas Eretz Yisrael bebechinas koyach maso, he's able to activate the kedusha of Eretz Yisrael through this koyach masav, through his hands. V'alkein metaharin hayodayim al yidei mayim tohirim shel netila. And this is why we use water to purify our hands. V'alkein metaharin hayodayim al yidei mayim tohirim shel netila. And therefore we purify our hands through the pure waters of the netila. Shaydeze ma'avirin min hayodayim bechinas mayim hazeidoinim me'amabel shachizosim yodayim. when a person washes his hands, most people wash twice. And as Rav Nosson Zal is going to show you here in the next halacha, the washing twice, the second washing removes away any impurity that comes about as the result of the first. Because sometimes it's possible for the hands to make the first waters impure. So Rav Nosson Zal says that's a concept of mayim hazedonim. There's a concept of impure waters, which again symbolize pigama bris. And then there's the removal of those impure waters through holy waters. Vos yochay lo se soysum l'chapra mikdusha. And after a person has succeeded in removing the impure waters, he's able to lift up his hands in holiness. And he thereby activates the Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, which is the opposite of the flood. And then his eating takes on the holiness of Eretz Yisrael, so that his eating helps this refinement process. And he's involved in helping to correct the defectiveness and the mix-up that took place as a result of the Dor HaMabul, as a result of their sins. And this is why the halacha says that when a person washes his hands for bread, he must make sure that the vessel that he uses is a complete one. It shouldn't have any break in it. It shouldn't be broken in any way. Remez al tikkun shviras kelim shenasa yidei ovon zeh kemuvah. This shows that the person is involved in helping effect a tikkun for pegama bris. Because pegama bris, it's written, causes shviras kelim, it causes breaking of vessels. Because I'm involved in correcting that, I show that by using a whole vessel, a vessel that's not broken in any way. V'achshov nistakim. And now, through our process of washing our hands for bread, we're participating in the tikkun for that. V'alkein tzrichin kli sholim. V'alkein hamayim aludim lekabel tumah b'shas natila. And this is why Rav Nosson Zal says the water that a person is washing with has the potential to become impure. Ki machmas sheshom b'hayodayim ikar achizosom. Because of the fact that the main place where tumah attaches itself to a person is by the hands, al kein yecholim chas v'shalom lifkoim u'letameh hamayim b'atzmam. Therefore, the hands have the ability to defile the water that's washing them. Kimoy shehoyah b'mabul, which is exactly what took place in the world during the flood. The Gemara says that originally when Hashem turned on the faucets, those waters were supposed to be waters of blessing. And he wanted to give the people a chance to see the goodness of Hashem and everything, and to see maybe they'll repent. When Hashem saw there was no movement, there was no positive change, Hashem turned the faucet on 6 billion volts. And then the heat went up, and the power went up, the pressure went up, and that was when it became a destructive flood. But we see again that it started off as something positive, and because they were bad, they were able to make it bad. So too, we have similar symbolism when we wash netilas yadayim for bread. Here I'm taking a cup of water, and I'm using it supposedly to purify my hands. And yet we find in the halacha that the hands have the ability to make the water that touches them impure. And those waters which were during the flood, which were originally intended to be gishmi nedava, wonderful rain, got turned into destructive waters. This is why the halacha says that a person is supposed to pour water on his hands twice when he washes netilas yadayim. The second time is so that if the water became impure in any way, based on the law, how tumah works, it's possible for the water from the first pouring to become tameh. Whereas if you pour a second round of water on your hand, that eliminates any possibility of tumah that might have come from the first round. Kedei letaher amayim she'ala yadayim. In order to purify the water that's already on your hands from the first wash. Because the flood waters can be removed through pure waters. Because the main item that helps a person fix and correct this pigam, the pigam abris, is waters, holy waters, pure waters. The hainu mikveh kemuvah, which is toiveling in the mikveh, as is brought in Sforim. V'chein netilas yadayim hu gam kein tahara mamish k'mo tefilas mikveh. And we know that when a person washes his hands in many, many ways, that has the same effect on a person as the purification of mikveh, as dipping in a mikveh. Ubekama dinim heim shovim hanatila v'atvila. There are many halachas in which washing of the hands take on the same format as toveling in a mikveh. Kihem boim l'sakein pegam hamabul. Because both of these things are specifically intended to help effect a tikkun for the pegam of the mabul. Shetikuno yalidei taro utvila. Where the tikkun for that is through purification, through dipping in a mikveh. Sheze bi'atzmoi bechinas netilas yodayim. And that's also the concept of washing one's hands. Shedinoi berevius daiko. Where the halach is that you must use a minimum of a revius of water when you wash your hands. Shehu shir mikveh min ha-Torah kemuva b'gemara. And the Gemara, when the Gemara discusses the amount of water for a mikveh, the Gemara shows how mid-oraisa, according to the written Torah, a revius is acceptable for purification in mikveh. And we find that it's the same exact shir that's used for netilas yadayim, washing hands. So Rav Nosson Zal wants to show the connection between those two things, that just as mikveh is for purification, and purification specifically from pegam abris, which is the concept of the doir hamabul, so too netilas yodaim lesuda is also a concept of purification, which in many ways is similar and affects the same tikkun as toveling in the mikveh, tikkun for pegam abris, pegam of the doir hamabul. Halacha gimel. Al pi ha-maimar vayhi miketz ki merachmei minagim b'lekutei tanina simen zayin ein shom. Rav Nosson Zal says, this chapter, Likutei Halachos, is based on chapter 7 in the second half of Likutei Moran. Ayin shom ma'ashikosav shom, sha'idei Klolius ben v'talmid, zoiche lehora sarotzoim b'shas ho'achila. That chapter on Likutei Moran is very long, and Rabbeinu Zal discusses about 15 major subjects. Among them, two of the major topics there are a person seeing to it that when he leaves this world, that he's not totally gone, but that rather that he leaves behind a son and or a student who continue his service of Hashem, his study of Hashem in the world after he leaves the world. And in that case, he's considered to be living in this world even after he passes away. That's one concept that Rabbeinu Zal mentions there. And Rabbeinu Zal also discusses over there that when a person is eating, a person has the ability to get to one of the highest possible, actually the highest level of holiness that could possibly achieved, which Rabbeinu Zal calls He'oras HaRotzon, where a person receives an aspect of desire, an infinite type of desire of wanting to come close to Hashem. A person receives a blast of that during eating. And specifically at the time of eating is when a person can receive that more so than any other activity in life. Rabbeinu Zal discusses this over there in detail in that chapter on the Likutei Moran. And Rav Nosson Zal is going to touch certain points of that Torah. Paragraph Aleph, v'zeh b'chinas netilas yodayim l'suda. This is tied into the concept of washing one's hands for eating a meal, eating bread. Kedei she'tiyeh ho'achila b'b'chinas achila d'gdusha, so that his eating should be with holiness. Shemizgala b'shas achila he'oras harotzoin, so that during his eating there should be revealed this he'oras harotzoin, this tremendous, intense desire to come close to Hashem. Sheze nasa alidei shenimsheches haparnosa mibchinas hayodayim shesh b'yam ha'chochma. Rabbeinu Zal in Likutei Moran over there explains that what triggers off this He'oras HaRotzon is when the Jews draw their parnosa, their sustenance, from the Yodayim Shebiyam HaChochman, from the hands that are in the Sea of Wisdom. This is terminology that Rabbeinu Zal uses in that chapter in Likutei Moran, which is based on the paragraph Borchi Nafshi, which we say during the winter season, we say it on Shabbos at Mincha time, that long Borchi Nafshi. There are a few psukim there, which Rabbeinu Zal, in this chapter in the Likutei Moran, discusses at length. And that's where he gets this term, V'yodayim Shebiyam HaChochma, from which a Jew draws parnasa, or sustenance. And when a Jew draws sustenance from the Yodayim Shebiyam HaChochma the right way, he is zoiche to He'oras HaRotzon. And this is why a Jew can be zoche to this heora sarotzoin specifically during eating. Ayin shom b'maymar hanal. Look in chapter 7 in Likutei Moran over there, where you'll see this discussed in detail. Now, Rav Nosson Zal says, based on the discussion over there, you could understand the significance of washing hands before eating. By washing your hands and purifying them with water, by doing that, you draw upon your hands this he'oras harotzoin, this light called ratzoin. Mayim hachochma, you're drawing waters of wisdom. V'oz nechlolen hayadayim b'soich b'chinas mei hayam. And by doing that, you're plugging your hands into the waters of the sea. By pouring a revius of water on your hands, you're plugging your hands into the yam, into the sea. Ki revius mayim hu b'chinas mikva kemuva b'poiskim shemedoi raiso revius mitar b'mikva. Because we know that a revius of water is a concept of a mikvah, as is brought in Shulchan Aruch that midoraisa, a revius has the power to purify, like mikvah. Umikvah hu bechinas yam, and we know that a mikvah is also referred to as a sea. Kumay shekosav, as it says in Bereishis, ule mikveh hamayim koroyamim, and to the gatherings of water, Hashem called them oceans. So the word for gathering is mikveh, mikveh hamayim. The mikveh is called yamim, oceans, sea. V'yalkein alidei horavius mayim shematar mem hayodayim, aydeze nechlolon hayodayim b'serv b'chinas hayam. Therefore, when a Jew pours a revius of water on his hands, he's spiritually plugging his hands into this yam hachochma, into the sea. Haynu b'bechinas yam hachochma. V'azai ikar ho'achila v'aparnosa nimshach miyadayim elu. And then he's drawing his sustenance from these hands, from hands that are plugged into the yam hachochma. Ki ikar ha'parnosa nimsheches min hayadayim shesh b'yam hachochma kanal. Because we know that the main parnosa comes to a Jew from the yodayim shebiyam hachochma. This is discussed in that chapter in the Likutei Moran, in paragraphs Yud, especially in paragraph Yud. And there, Rabbeinu Zal quotes a pasuk, Ze hayom godol urechav yodayim, that the sea is very large, urechav yodayim, and it's the broadness of the hands. That's one of the connections that Rabbeinu Zal makes there, where he coins this term, yodayim shebiyam hachochma, from which a Jew, if a Jew draws his parnosa and his achila from there, then he can be zeichet to this seoras harotzon. Vazai, kishezeichen lekabel hu achila mishom. And when a Jew draws his achila from that place, from that seoras harotzon, azai nimshach venezgale seoras harotzon mishasu achila, sheze iker kedushasu achila. Then his eating triggers off this seoras harotzon, which is the main success in eating. That's the main concept of kedusha during eating. When a person receives an inspiration, an infinite desire of wanting to come close to Hashem during eating. V'zeh ikara hatachlis. This is the main objective. Lizkois lehoras harotzlanal. Kiyam achochmanal sheshameirim hamakifunanal sheim bechinas horas ben v'talmid. Zeh bechinas horas hadas shalmoish rabbeinu loshon shehu heir hadas hazeh kemuvan shalmamayimranal. Because this concept of the yam hachochma, where the makifin shine, their makifin is the things that a person doesn't know yet, that a person would want to get to know, which is this concept of the light of Ben and Talmud, which is the Das of Moshe Rabbeinu. That's all related to this Yam HaChochma. V'ikra Das, u'lahatzel, v'lishmer, lohitzeis Yisrael min ha'averos chasashon. And Rabbeinu Zal says in this chapter in the Likutei Moran that the most important knowledge in the world is the knowledge that helps Jews avoid committing sins. Sheze ikor harachmonos al Yisrael am kodesh l'mishiyadem eichen Yisrael hem lekuchim eichem rechoichem legamri me'avonis rachmonos on ayin shon. Because Rabbeinu Zal explains over there that if you want to talk about a pity, having pity on the Jewish people, the greatest pity possible on the Jewish people is when the Jews find themselves committing sins. And the person who has the greatest rachmanis possible is the one who has the ability to get the Jews to stop committing sins or to commit less sins. Because if a person understands what kind of a holy place the Jewish souls come from, he understands what an incredible, incredible stain and problem and suffering it is for a Jewish soul when it commits a sin, or when it's involved in sin. And the individual who is zeche to shine das into the Jewish people and to protect them and save them from committing sins, that person is zeche, the person who gives that kind of das to the Jews. Rabbein Azar writes there that his reward is, one of his rewards is, that his makifin become revealed to him, that anything he couldn't understand or didn't understand becomes clear to him. Asher mishom nimshach parnosam mehayadayim shesh b'yamanal, so that he draws this knowledge of the makifin from the Yam HaChochma, which is the same place that parnosa comes from. Parnosa is also drawn from the yodayim shebiyam HaChochma. And this triggers off the heora sarotzen during eating. Nimtza שאיקר הורא סרוצו נמשך על ידי שמירו מאבוינויס, שנמשך על ידי הדס הנ"ל, שבכנס מוישה כנ"ל. So therefore, Rav Nosson Zal says, the main concept of being able to draw upon oneself, heora sarotzoin, which comes during eating, is done especially through das, which is the concept of Moshe Rabbeinu. וכל הוואבוינויס חס ושלום איקר פגומם הוא בבחינס יודעים כמובן מדבר רבן עזר במקום אחר. And whenever a Jew commits sins, usually it's tied in most to the hands. It affects the hands. כמו שמזל, as רבן עזר brings in a chapter in the Kut Imran, ואי התבוא לידי עבירה. There's a mission in Perek Yovos where it says, listen carefully to these things, and you'll avoid lidei avera, you'll avoid coming into the hands of sin. That's the terminology that's used, yidei avera, lidei avera daiko. V'zehu b'chinas itzavon yodayim hanemar b'dor hamabul shemor demamokim. And this is why we find that it says, the Torah uses that term, depression, depressed hands, about the doyer hamabul. Itzavon yodayim is the terminology that's used.